Welcome to TMI for Your Mental Health with me, Irene Treadwell, your host, and today's topic is schizophrenia. So when you hear the word schizophrenia, what does it mean to you? What images does it conjure up in your mind? For some, you might think it's someone who is violent, someone who talks to themselves, someone who has no grip on reality, someone who is living on the streets. So let's get right into it. What is schizophrenia? The nomenclature of the word schizophrenia, I'm going to break it down. So the first part, schizo, it's Greek. It's a word that means for splitting. And phren, Greek origin for soul, spirit, mind. And ia, the last part, ia, which is a suffix. It describes the abnormal states or conditions. So there you have schizophrenia. About 1% of all Americans have schizophrenia. It is a chronic condition that affects the brain, causing symptoms such as delusions, hallucinations, trouble thinking and concentrating clearly, and a lack of motivation. Most people with schizophrenia are not, I repeat, not dangerous or violent, nor are they homeless, or are they living on some psych ward. For most people with schizophrenia, if they are treated properly, their symptoms will improve over time and they can live with family and group home type settings, or they can live independently, you know, meaning they actually have their own apartment or home. Although both sexes are affected equally, as far as diagnosis of the disorder, the onset of the symptoms affects the males and females differently. Males experience symptoms earlier in their late teens and early 20s, and females experience onset of symptoms in their late 20s and early 30s. So, in more detail about the symptoms of schizophrenia, during the onset, some of the early signs may include a person who is isolating themselves from others, an increase in unusual thoughts and/or suspicions, or there may be a familial history of psychosis, meaning someone in the immediate family might have been diagnosed with psychosis. So let's talk about the symptoms of schizophrenia. There are positive and negative symptoms. We will start with the positive symptoms, ones that most people are familiar with, such as the hallucinations, meaning when a person is hearing voices or seeing things, or maybe they have tactile, which means they feel like something is crawling on them, they're touching themselves a lot, like they're picking something off of them. Usually with these hallucinations, the person is hearing, seeing, or feeling things that only they can see or smell that others cannot perceive. These hallucinations are real to that particular person, even though everyone else around them knows otherwise. And irrespective of whether you tell them with proper information and data that these are not true to them, they are real. Just a note with the auditory hallucinations, or the ones they hear, these voices can be critical, meaning person might hear voices telling them that they're no good, they're worthless, their life has no meaning. Or these voices can be threatening, meaning the voices are telling them that they should harm themselves and or others. And the voice that they actually hear may involve a person that they know or some unknown person to them. So that's just a thought that I wanted to share with you. So let's talk about some of the other symptoms. Delusions. Those are false beliefs that the person experiencing them will cling to, even when given the data or information stating otherwise. So, for example, they might truly believe that they are the king of America, or that they're Beyonce and Beyonce is married to King George. No, these are not true. Their delusions may cause them to be confused, to lose their ability to concentrate, and or their sense that their thoughts are blocked. And then there are negative symptoms, which simply means they have a decreased or diminished ability. So sometimes we'll say the person has a flat affect. So affect deals with your emotions or emotional response. So a person with a flat affect has little or no emotions, nor do they show them, and if they do, they're in inappropriate times. They may have a flat monotone speaking voice, They may be unable to start and or follow through with activities, and they show no interest in life or relationships. Then there are cognitive issues and disorganized thinking. These symptoms include struggling to remember things, inability to organize their thoughts or complete tasks. They may suffer from a lack of insight, so they may not even realize that they have schizophrenia. And this can be a problem as you try to implement treatment modalities where the person may not feel they don't have that particular condition, so therefore they don't need to do psychotherapy and or take medications. Now let's focus on some of its possible causes. For some, there could be genetics. As I mentioned earlier, although it affects 1% of the population in America, having a familial history of psychosis can increase a person's risk up to 10%, with the highest risk among identical twins. So if one twin is diagnosed, then the other twin will have a 50% chance of developing the disorder. Environment. Exposure to viruses or malnutrition before birth, particularly during the first and second trimester, has been shown to increase a person's risk of developing the disorder. Brain chemistry. Problems with certain brain chemicals such as neurotransmitters, which allow the brain nerve cells to communicate with each other, and glutamate, which is an excitatory transmitter that sends signals between nerve cells and plays a role in learning and memory. And then you have issues with substance use or abuse. Some studies have suggested that mind-altering drugs used during the early teen years or in young adulthood can increase the risk. Smoking marijuana can increase the risk of psychotic incidents, especially if the marijuana is laced with other drugs such as PCP or K2, for example. Smoking marijuana may also lead to the earlier onset of schizophrenia and often preceded the manifestations of the illness. Now, does that mean that if you go out and smoke marijuana tomorrow or later on today, that you too can have a psychotic break and therefore be a schizophrenic? No. But take into account someone who smokes it to the point where they're addicted to it, couple that with maybe a familial history of psychosis, and therefore it can increase your chance. So just a thought. How is schizophrenia diagnosed? There is no one singular lab test or radiological test that can tell if a person has it. The healthcare provider will have to look at all the symptoms the patient has been presenting over a 6-month period or longer. The healthcare provider will have to rule out any possible brain tumors, other medical conditions, and other psychiatric conditions such as bipolar disorder, for example. The healthcare provider will make the diagnosis when the person has 2 or more of the following symptoms occurring persistently in the context of reduced functioning. So again, I'm alluding back to delusions, hallucinations, disorganized speech, disorganized or catatonic behavior, and negative symptoms. Identifying these symptoms early on can greatly increase a person's chance of managing their condition and help reduce hospital admission. Psychotherapy along with medications can also help. Some medications called antipsychotics include haloperidol, risperidone, paliperidone, olanzapine, and ziprasidone. Now, let's talk about what we as healthcare providers, practitioners, and loved ones can do to help support a person with schizophrenia. First, as healthcare providers and practitioners, we can ensure that the client is involved as much as possible in their treatment plan, therefore solidifying that the patient will have a much more successful treatment modality plan that can be carried out. And for those of us who are primary caregivers of a loved one with schizophrenia, first and foremost, we thank you for your service and you are appreciated. Second, continue to be supportive and encourage them to stay in treatment. Third, be respectful, be kind, but do not tolerate any type of dangerous and or inappropriate behavior. And finally, make sure you as a caregiver seek out a support group for caregivers so you have a positive outlet as well, because you are not alone. Here's some final words as we wrap up. If you or a loved one has been or currently presenting with these symptoms, please seek help. You can contact your local healthcare provider for a referral, your local health department or hospital for outpatient assistance, or you can contact NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness, their helpline at 1-800-950-NAMI or 1-800-950-6264, or you can text NAMI at NAMI to 741-741. And as always, in case of an emergency, please call 911. Thanks for tuning in. For more information and or questions, you can reach me by email at tmiforyourhealth@gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook at TMI for Your Health or on IG at TMI for Your Health. And remember, together, we can end the stigma. Thanks for listening to TMI for Your Mental Health with your host, Irene Treadwell.